Yes.
Blog Talk Radio.
Have a great show.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here, Raven.
Good evening. Welcome to another episode of Purpose Kingdom Network. This is Let's Talk About It, y'all. It has been, it seems like, forever and a day that we get the chance to sit and just really talk about whatever it is that needs to be talked about. And I don't know about y'all ladies, but there's a whole lot that needs to really be talked about.
That's it, for sure.
Look, if y'all are the first time listeners of Purpose Kingdom, we have to say welcome. We got to say welcome, welcome. You know what's going down in the PK. If you have not checked out archives, go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom, and please have your heart's desire. But there's one thing that we do at Let's Talk About It, and we sit at the table, and what we do is we talk about the things that people should be talking about and maybe not be talking about them properly. So tonight, I believe that we are all together because it sounds like I had my sister Janice. Janice, Mima, are you there?
Yes. I'm here. Praise the Lord. I'm here. You know, the devil always trying to, like, throw something in the game, but it's all good. So we got it.
Listen. Do you understand? And I believe that I heard Pastor Tyleen Choi did. Are you there too, Chad?
Okay. I thought I heard
her. I thought that I heard her, but maybe I didn't. But guess what? One thing that we do know is that, like Janice just said, the devil be busy. Because I was trying to make the call to get into the board, and it just seemed like nothing was moving, nothing was working. Things were running in the background, and I was trying to figure out everything. So what we're going to do is I believe that we need to set an atmosphere. Sometimes what happens is when you're trying to do what's right, everything seems to go wrong. And the first thing that we like to do is go into the wrong and just give up and don't do the right thing. Don't do the thing that we need to do because that's the thing that we've been called to do because we'd rather rest on the situation or whatever the situation. You know what I mean? How you can do it, it's real easy to do. So what I would like to do is, Mima, if you could, set the atmosphere. Let the enemy know, you know, he's going to have to sit down for a second because you do know we do have the kingdom authority to tell him that it's not going to happen right now. Like, you might get it. You might do it. You might even do it tomorrow, but not right now.
Not right now, Satan. That's right. Not right now, Satan. You can't have it. Right now, we're sitting on this throne, Satan. You got to go. You're not wanted here. And please, shoot yourself away from here, Satan. Satan, you got to go. You're out of here. All right. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank
Amen.
You.
Look, Satan, get out of here. Let it go. Now, I'm not sure if Chappie is there, but I want to read something to everybody, and we'll talk about it. How about that? God, do you have a minute? There's something I need to say. I have a lot on my mind, and I would like to talk today. No one knows me better than you, and I really need your help in getting into the place where I can be happy with myself. Every time I move forward and think I'm on the right track, something always seems to happen to try to hold me back. I am tired of going through the same things over and over again, ending up in the same place where I began. Now, I am at the point in my life where I know I want to change. I am not sure how to do it, but I trust you will show me the way. I would really like for you to teach me what I need to do, how to be your friend and walk and talk the way you want me to. God, thanks for listening while I shared what was on my mind. Thank you for being who you are, and thank you for your time. I saw that the other day, and I said, wow, how many of us all types of stuff. But we think that God is not there. We think that God is not close. Like, we think that, you know what I mean? We think that, is that, was that you, Jeff?
It's me. Bless and praise God. We was having technical difficulties on my side, but I made it. I'm here.
Amen.
Come on,
amen.
God.
And look at God.
That's what I thought I heard you. So,
yes.
If when you think about it, how many times do we really go through something and we're really, really thinking that we're the only ones going through that something? And it's not until you actually start to talk about the something that you're going through that you can actually help someone else that's going through it. And then believe it or not, as you are walking and talking and helping someone else through it, you turn back around and you have made it through what you were going through.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So tonight, I really believe that we should just be talking about how is it that we're supposed to handle what it is going through. If you're out there and you'd like to join us live on the air, the number to call in is 319-527-6091. And if you'd like to talk to us and you'd like to join in, because someone might be going through something tonight and you're like, I listen to Purpose Kingdom Network and I be going through and I hear these words and I'm getting this and I'm getting that. But sometimes we don't talk about exactly what it is where you are and where you need us to be. Tonight is that night. Tonight is the night for you to come through, go through, but don't go through alone. Come sit at the table. Press one. That signals the word. When you hear the beep, then that'll be your turn to speak. So, ladies, I don't even know where we want to begin. Can we talk about, what do y'all want to talk about first? Because I really want to talk about the fact that all we're seeing is this violence. And there's so much more going on in the world.
And yes, it is. And you know, early, you know, thank you, Jesus. You know, this subject is like really touching me because I was speaking with my one of my older sons earlier today, and he was going through something, and he didn't know how to handle it, you know. And one thing I used to teach the children when they were younger is that you got to go to God and you got to ask God to pray. And when you, I mean, ask God for strength and ask God to give you direction. And as long as you do it with a sincere prayer, you're going to get direction from the Lord. And he said to me today, he said, Mom, I remember when we were younger that you used to always tell us, pray about it, stop crying and whining, always pray about it. He said, do you know, I was talking to my God brother today, and my God brother said to me, I remember your mom used to always tell us to pray about it, and I didn't understand. He said, but you know, now today, I understand it because every time I go to pray, when I go to pray and I pray sincerely from my heart, everything always turns out right. So we have to just pray. You know, we got to pray and believe that God's going to work it out, and it will be worked out. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, what about the people that don't understand prayer? You know, Chappie, maybe you can touch on this. And the reason why I say that is not so much that they don't understand prayer, but because it's like, you know, this is like that new, we're that new age, you know, free to be who you want to be. You can be a boy, you can be a girl, you can be whatever. You can be a queer, you can be weird, you can be whatever you want to be, and it's all right. Everything is okay. You know, like the only thing that we can't do is talk about just being, I guess, holy, you know, and trying to be live sinless and all that. Like, we can't even talk about that kind of stuff because they don't want you to talk about that. When you talk like that and like you should live your life right, or you should want to live, you know, for eternity and all that kind of stuff, they look at you funny.
Right.
So when they hear prayer, it's almost like it's like a foreign thing because why would I pray now? Because why would I need God for what's going on? It's almost like I can go on my social media and get the newest God from whoever's on the thing. How do we stand in that gap?
A piece of the problem is that we have made one prayer this technical and performance type situation. So when people think about prayer, they think like, you know, they got to come and run through all the titles and run through all the accurate. You know how it used to be back when you would hear the deacons pray, Father God, Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the great I am that I am, he that carries me on the wings of an eagle. No, and there's nothing wrong with that in prayer. However, prayer is nothing more than a conversation with God. Most of the time when I'm praying, I'm talking like I've called somebody up on the phone. Hey, Father, you and Jesus know what I'm down here going through. Oh, get me, because I'm about to go left. Keep me. Like, you got to talk real. That's all prayer is. Prayer is just like you would call your boy or your girl up and be like, yo, let me tell you what they doing, or let me tell you what's going on, or hey, I got some good news. It's the same thing when you're praying. Granted, he already knows what's going on, but he would love to hear you tell him. He would love to hear it from us as individuals versus him sitting there and you sitting there going, well, God, you know everything, so you know what I'm going through. I'm surprised you ain't came and helped me yet. He ain't come help you yet because you ain't asked him to.
Amen.
Remember, God does not force himself on you. He does not force his will on you. You have to be a willing participant of the relationship.
Amen.
I believe that. Now I got a question. You guilty of what? This is what you're guilty of. Then I'm going to ask my question.
No, I was getting ready to say that, you know, I used to be guilty of that thing. I used to think that, oh, if I prayed, I had to go through this long, drawn-out situation. And then one day, the Lord revealed to me, you sitting there talking about you can't talk to me because you can't find a place to kneel down. Who said the only way you could pray was kneeling? If you talking to me, you praying.
Amen.
But go ahead, ask your question.
All right.
Sister Adrian.
So here's the question. I grew up in church. Now, when I used to, don't shoot me, y'all. Y'all know they call me misunderstood for a reason. I used to think God would be tired because you said something. You said, remember how the deacons used to pray. And I'm going to tell you that the deacons used to tell God to go everywhere. I mean, you know, go to the highways, the byways, the nursing home, then go to the jailhouse, then go to the street, then go here. I'm thinking, damn, where are you going, sir? If you going somewhere, because you've got a lot of praying going on. God is moving. He is moving. But it's like that was just me as a kid. I used to always think that, like, I'm glad I ain't God, because every time he get up here and pray, he tell him to go to all them places, and it was like, and it was routine. It was really scripted. Like, at the first two times, you would think, okay, that's just nice. But as you're like 15 years in, you like, oh my God, he's up here about to pray the same prayer again. It's like, so now it's weird because maybe you can help me. Put it this way. I'm not going to speak on nobody else but me. Maybe y'all can help me because I find myself as I'm listening to the prayer, you know, like we're in the corporate prayer or whatever. The prayer is so, so defeated. Like we pray like like God can't answer it. Like, you know how we supposed to have already, we supposed to be praising even in the midst of, because we know what it is that we believe in. And then we stand on our belief and we pray in that strength. Not in this defeated, pleaded, like, please help us, God, because we don't know what to do. It's just bad. And it's bad out here. It is. But I catch myself. Like, I end up opening my eyes and everything, like, are you okay up there? Like, what are you doing? Like, where's the power in our prayers?
Well,
It could just be me, but I'm just saying.
I'm looking for that sincere and the only sincere prayer is from your heart. You know, you got to come with a sincere prayer in your heart. And once we do a sincere prayer in our heart, we'll see a difference, you know. I mean, it's been a slack, you know, since, how can I say, since I have been praying for certain things. I did see a slack in some things, you know, but we have to do a sincere prayer. And if we're not going to see no difference if we don't do a sincere prayer. You know, that's praying from your heart and truly, honestly believing that he's going to come down here and he's going to do what thus said the Lord, you know.
The word of God
right.
tells
like he's
us.
He's going to do exactly what it is he said.
The word of God tells us anything that we ask for in Jesus' name, with that God will grant it unto us. The problem is we have to remember twofold. One is that there's a difference between corporate prayer and personal prayer. Corporate prayer is always going to sound somewhat scripted. Mainly because you're praying in general, in a general covering over everybody. Now, it should have power in that prayer. It shouldn't just be like somebody's just sitting there and they're, you know, reciting their lines for the play. No, it should have power in it. And it was John 14:14 that I was actually quoting. And what it says is, the New International Version says, you may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. The King James Version says, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. But the key is you got to have belief that he can do what it is you're asking him to do.
Amen. Amen.
Like every time Jesus healed
somebody. Well, I heard something very profound today. What'd you say, Chef? I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
I was saying every time that Jesus healed somebody, 9 times out of 10, you did have a couple of times when he just walked up and did what he was going to do. But 9 times out of 10, his final statement to them was, your faith has made you whole. Because you believed that I could do what you heard I could do, because you believed I can do what you saw me do, because you believed that I can do what you're asking me for, that's why it was done for you. Someone, it might have been Janice that told this story, but I don't know for sure. But there was a story that was told one time on one of the ministries. And what the story was that there was a town that had been suffering through a severe drought. And the drought had went on so long that the pastor at the church told everybody, y'all come meet me tonight here in the sanctuary for prayer. We going to pray and ask God for rain. Well, when they got there, one little old mother, umbrella with her. And everybody was looking at her, mother, what you got that umbrella for? It ain't rained in weeks. It ain't rained in months. Why do you have an umbrella? She said, because ain't we getting ready to ask God to open the windows of heaven and let the rain come down? Well, if you're asking them for the rain, how y'all here not prepared for the rain to come? You have to believe what you're asking him to do. You have to have faith, and not just faith, but you got to have that personal walk.
Man,
you got to know that he's going to do it. I get frustrated when I hear people praying at the end of the prayer. They go, not my will, but your will be done. You just defeated yourself. You should always be praying for the will of the Father to be done. However, I just read you the scripture, John 14:14. Jesus himself said, if you ask in my name, I will do it. But then we sit and go, oh, but not my will, your will be done. The devil is a liar.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. All the time.
We pray
now,
in
not
the
my feet. Will, but thy will. That's what I think. It sounds like they defeated
and
to me when I be hearing them.
And you know what? Because I thank you, Lord. Somebody just said, well, isn't that what Jesus said when he was going to Calvary? That's a different prayer. He came here to die on that cross. He said to his Father in glory, give me that body you prepared for me. He knew what he was coming here to do. And as it got close to him to go through that pain and suffering, he was like, yo, can we retalk this? Nevertheless, your will be done, not mine. Your will be done, because I came here to fulfill your will. That was a different type of prayer. Jesus
Amen.
Said in John 14:14, if you want it, you believe in it, you walk with me, and you ask it in my name, I will do it. And I'm living proof that he will do it if you're walking and praying in sincere in his will. My grandmother
now,
lived
on that
to be
note.
100. Go ahead.
Mm-mm. Your grandmother lived to be 100 and how old?
My grandmother lived to see 102. The reason she lived to see that, because at 99, she had a massive stroke. They told me to get the family together. The first thing I prayed was, Lord, which way do you want me to pray? Because I know how you heal. You only heal in one of two ways. You take the person from the disease or the disease from the person. So tell me which way you want me to pray. When he revealed to me, speak life in this realm, and I begun to pray, knowing that he could do what he had done, she lived three more years after that.
Amen.
It all comes down on where your faith
is. And that power, and that is the power.
Mm-hmm.
That's the question. So the same way in the Bible, the same way, Jesus, see, I like it because you just brought up a thing about how really worked and what it was that he was purposed for. But when it comes to our children, if you noticed, he healed children, but he healed children through the power of the parent prayer and belief. And that is something that I think that we should talk about for at least a little bit of time. What does that look like? Parents taking power back to Christ over our babies. Because everyone in the world is dealing with some type of senseless violence that's going on. But look at Jairus' daughter. I think it was Jairus' daughter, and then there was a son, right, that was possessed. You know what I mean? And it's like sometimes it's the parent's job to put your children at the feet of Jesus. But we'd have to actually focus on more than ourselves to be able to put our babies there. And then God blesses our babies through our action. Am I right about that?
Amen. Amen. Yes.
Amen. And it still comes back to where is your, where your faith lies at. There was a centurion, I believe it's in the book of Matthew, the centurion soldier whose servant was paralyzed and sick. And he came to Jesus asking for help for his servant. And Jesus' words to him was, should I come to your house? And the centurion said, no, Lord, I'm not worthy of that. But I'm a person who's over a lot of people. If I tell my soldiers to go do A, they go do it. If I tell them to go do B, they go do it. And because I know that you are over principalities and everything in existence, you don't have to come to my house, Jesus. I know if you say the word, my servant will be healed. The servant didn't know nothing about Jesus. The centurion had heard about him. The centurion had knew about him, knew who he was, knew how he worked, and knew enough to go seek him for help. See, we so busy in this new generation trying to argue down our elders. Oh, they're crazy. They believe in fairy tales. They believe in witchcraft. They believe in this and they believe in that. That we forget that them same prayers that them grandmothers and great-grandmothers and mothers have prayed over some of us, that's why we here today. Because of their faith, not because of ours.
Amen.
Amen.
It's like that song.
And that's powerful.
Shirley Caesar, I had a praying grandmother. I had a praying mama. My mother prayed. My mother prayed over us. She walked in and out, you know, the bedrooms and stuff, you know. And from seeing that growing up as a child, I've done the same with my children. And when certain feelings came upon me, I don't care if it was 3-4 o'clock in the morning, I got up and woke everybody up, children and the woke them all up, and we all go downstairs in a circle and we pray, and then I send them back to bed. But I had my fulfillment. Once I'd done that, I knew whatever was going on or whatever was about to happen, I had to prepare myself and my family in prayer, because that's what I was taught, and not only was I taught it, but the discernment of it. Amen.
That it's back into the faith. It's what's put into them.
Amen.
It's the seed that's planted, and then we got to also remember your faith don't have to be some real big faith. The word of God said if you had faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed. It didn't even say a whole mustard seed. They said if you have faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed, you can tell a mountain to cast itself into the yonder sea, and it will. You just got to have solid faith.
Amen.
And when you asking God for something and you feel your faith is wavering, then start right there with a minute. Lord, I know I'm asking this. I believe you for this. I believe and help my unbelief. Because if you tell him, if you come to him honestly and truthfully, he going to give you what you want. That's why I believe
what
it
what
was,
you need.
Yeah. I believe it was Jairus' daughter, I believe. I might be mixing the story, but I believe I'm going to look it up in a second. But when he came to Jesus asking for healing and for the life of his daughter, Jesus asked him a question, asked him did he believe he could do it, and he said, I believe and help my unbelief. In other words, yeah, I believe you can do it, but it's a piece of me doubting, so help where I'm doubting that.
Amen.
That was the man with the son, with the possessed son.
The man with the son. Thank you.
The man with the
son.
I believe he was help my unbelief. He was watching this thing happen. And the thing is about it is we are people that watch things happen. We are watching people be addicted to drugs. We are watching people die to senseless violence. We are watching people want to live in the chaos of life. We are watching people make choices to live in this chaos. So that is where you really want to pray. And literally, that was one of the truest things that I think I read in the Bible, because how many of us believe, but then we low-key have this other piece, or you think that it will happen for everybody else, but it won't happen for you. So, you know, I know that I lived like that for a long time. I watched other people get blessed, and because I knew that other people were blessed, I used to think, well, I'm not doing something right. That's why I'm not being blessed. And I had to check my spirit on that, because it was almost like you got to check your unbelief, because you can believe, because that's like what is the normal thing to do. You know, you trust that this is happening. But a lot of people look at belief like it's different, but yet we get in a car and we drive and we don't expect the other person in the left lane, like we don't expect the opposing traffic to be in our lane. So there is some type of a faith that people have on a daily basis. Like you get in your car and you have faith that it's going to turn on. Like when you go and you flip the light switch, you are expecting that your lights are coming on. You know what I mean? You believe it. Now, if you know you ain't paid your bill, you flip the light switch a little bit different. But we're not talking about, you know what I mean? We're not talking about a voided life of faith. We're talking about actually adding faith to everything that we do in our lives. It shows up better in our present, because as defeated as it looks and as bad as the situation is, you can still overcome that because of the faith, because you know that the situation that you're in is not always going to last. Like, you know how they say trouble don't last always. A lot of times the trouble is so thick with us, though, that I've realized that a lot of people can't do anything but focus on the trouble. And so what we need to do, guys, is try to I like how this all flowed, but then it flowed right into the faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Isn't that what they say?
That ain't what they say. That's what the word says.
I'm gonna say that's what the word says. So it's not about your. It's not about how you present yourself, or you know what I mean. It is really how you believe this thing. If you don't believe it, you know you're not gonna show up right. You're really not. Like if you already think that you're not gonna get the job, you're gonna be late for the interview. Your clothes gonna be wrinkled. You're not already, you know what I mean? You didn't walk in like, I've already conquered this. I know that God is covering this, so this is already done. When we walk into situations like that and we put our power in God, that's how you build strong faith, because you watch things happen out of your mouth. Like Janice just said, sometimes it didn't matter what time of the day it was, but if the unction came that we need to get together and as a family and pray, yeah, I'm waking you up. Come on. But one thing for sure, two things for certain.
Amen.
Amen. Are y'all there? I don't even know what just happened.
Can
you hear me? Can you hear me?
Hey, yes, I hear you now, but saving this alive. I don't know what just happened.
Well, I bet not, because my whole thing just blanked out. That's why I was like, I don't even know what just happened, but everything just went blank. But how about I got faith to keep talking? You know what I'm saying? I was like, Because when it drops on me, I hit the button right away, because there's no such thing as that, because I'm not going to just defeat. I'm not going to let him win. Like, I got faith that says that this is what we do, this is how we do it, and this is why we do what we do, so that we can show up in it, so that my faith says that I will be there. They will be on the line, whether I'm calling back in or not. And then when I couldn't press the button to call in, I'm sitting there thinking, okay, well, come on, God, because, you know, we was going forth. We was doing what we doing, and then I heard you. So
amen.
Understand that that was not just only the example, but that was real life. That just happened. Real time for everyone. So if you're out there and you have not already called in and you're listening, the number to call in is 319-527-6091. Don't forget to press 1. That way it signals the board, and then the board will let us know, and then we'll bring you in. When you hear the beep, it'll be your turn to speak. Now, lady, I heard a message the other day, and I said, wow, okay. It was great, because when Chap said, "It's let's talk about it," I thought about it. I said, how about this? Do you know that what we do in life is we associate everything with bad things? Like, how can I say this? Okay, let me use the people in the Bible. The examples that he used were, he asked people, what was the first thing that you thought of when you think of these people in the Bible? So he called out Thomas. And the congregation said, the doubter.
Wow.
He called out Naaman. The congregation called out the leopard. He called out Rahab. The congregation said, so just within those three, Thomas, Naaman, and Rahab. They all had great stories of something powerful that happened in the God story, correct?
Amen.
Because Thomas was doubting, but he didn't doubt all of the time. He just doubted the fact that he didn't believe that he said he wanted to see that Jesus was coming back, right? Isn't that what he's saying? And then because of that doubt, Jesus actually said, well, bro, I'm going to show up for you. Matter of fact, you can touch my scars. Put your hands in my hole, you know, put your hand through the hole so you can ease your doubt. But after that, was he not where he was supposed to be, when he was supposed to be at all given time, doing exactly what he was called to do? We don't know anything. We don't see anything but the doubt. Rahab. Everyone wants to say she was the harlot or the prostitute or whatever. No one's going to tell you about the fact that she was a businesswoman, because at the end of the day, there was a business that she was doing. She was doing way more than just, like, as we have perverted all of these things down today. The prostitute back then was not the prostitute that we are seeing right now in our minds. But that was not Rahab's big story. Rahab's big story was the fact that because of the fact that when the spies came in to look and see what the promised land was going to look like, Rahab actually hid them in her house, right? And then not only did she hide them, but then she said, well, when you come back, because I know who you are, make sure that you cover me and my family and everybody in the house. We don't even look at that. All they say is that she was just a prostitute. Naaman, he was like a army guy, right? And not only was he an army guy, but he was like in charge of a lot of different things, but he had leprosy. So we don't know anything else about him but the fact that he was a leper. How is it that we only focus on what is the negative in our lives or in other people's lives? To associate, because I know that I resonated with that, because I said, wow, I'm a person like that. If I have 15 people that give me feedback on something and 14 other people love me, but one person had something negative to say,
we tend to focus on the one person that has something negative to say.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to disregarding that one negative and living off of those 13 positives.
Wow.
How are we going to be able to live a prosperous, victorious life if we're only focused on those bad things, those negative things, the things that set us back? How do we fix that? Do y'all have any suggestions?
She was cut off somehow.
Some had another we was cut. See, the devil don't want this word to go out tonight.
Don't want it to go.
But we gonna keep pushing forward. Hallelujah. God, through every trick of the enemy, we gonna keep pushing forward.
Amen.
Can y'all hear me?
Okay.
Okay, we can hear you now.
Here we go.
Can you hear me or no?
Yes, we can hear you. We are back, everybody.
I'm going to just keep talking. That's what we're going to do. I'm going to just keep talking because there ain't no way in the world that we're sitting here just having regular conversation. You do know that if we were talking about the newest hairstyle, the newest shoes, or who was doing what and what holiday and what Hollywood house it was happening in, it's going to be all over the world. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing would interrupt us or anything. They wouldn't even have a problem with us being on forever. But we're on for a whole hour and can't get 1 hour of just straight grace because of the fact that what they want us to do is be cut off. They want one bad thing to happen and then we focus on the bad thing. Like, I will continuously call in. Anyone that's listening right now, if you ever are listening to us and we just drop out the air, call back. Hit the
line,
refresh it. Do what you do. Because I believe that there's an attack on what is right in our world. And the reason why I know this is because it only happens when you're talking about right.
Yeah, it's in the atmosphere.
When I'm watching that craziness on TV, it don't never break. It don't never stop. It is always constantly craziness coming through the television. The only way you change the crazy from coming out of the television is to turn it off. But what do you do when you turn it off? You remember what you were just watching because that's what you're filling your brain with. So it's like,
uh-huh.
We need God's word. We need to fill our minds and our thoughts and our hearts with what God is saying so that we can build our faith, so that we can understand that in this situation, in that situation, this is what happened. This is how they did it. This is how they overcame it. And then we live off of that and stop watching this television because TV is not taking us anywhere but to the end of the world. Did y'all know that?
Amen.
I think they're getting paid for us to think like, Troy said something earlier today. It says something about you can't pray and be doubtful. How many people do you know that live in doubt? You can tell somebody you got a job interview and they're going to tell you 3 things that are bad about that job. You ain't even get there yet.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
You know what I mean? But really, truthfully, what it is I believe that people are telling you, like people impose their fears on you. I'm going to be the principal. I'm going to be a principal of my school. Oh, well, you know, I really wouldn't want to be the principal because, you know, these kids are bad and they're shooting up buildings and all that kind of stuff. And they're like, no, I'm sorry. I said I wanted to be the principal, not you.
Wow.
I'm just saying, but these are things that, listen, y'all know when we sit at the table, it be all types of ways that be coming up. And I'm thinking, okay, well, we're going to talk about it. And this needs to be like a news forum where we just bring it to the table and be like, you know what, let's talk about this because I heard this the other day and this is ridiculous. Or I heard this and this is just bad. We need to put this out in the air in the right atmosphere because what we're watching and seeing, I believe, is just giving more, it's setting doubt in us so that we can't grab our power. And the power actually comes from knowing who Christ is. The power comes from knowing that we have a Savior. The power comes from the actual asking. Jeff, you said it was John 14?
John 14 and 14.
Yeah. It comes from the asking. So, for real, I believe that it's about that time anyway where we do this every night. And we do it because someone may be out there and they might not know or have their own personal relationship with Christ. And if they don't have it, we like to offer it to you. Chad?
We would like to offer you.
You know, you on here, so you might as well be finessing that or finessing, because I like when you finesse it, because the way you finesse it, it makes people feel good, make them want to come to it. Because you know me, I'm just telling you, stop playing with me. See, people are dying in their houses now, watching their favorite television show. Bullets coming from 4 or 5 blocks away.
You know,
I'm just saying.
There's not a finessing that I can do tonight. I'm just going to give it to you the way that God said it. God said that he so loved this world that he gave his only begotten son, his one and only son. People go, oh, well, we're all his sons and daughters because we're created in his image. Yeah, that's true. However, it wasn't but one time in history that he put his essence into the womb of a woman and allowed flesh to grow around it. And we called him, depending on your dialect, Isa, Yeshua, Jesus, Jesus, if you speak Spanish, the God-man, the Christ. He said, if anybody believes in him, they shall not perish, but they can have everlasting life, which takes us right back to that faith thing. We put our faith in so many things in this world, in so many carnal things. We put our faith in our spouses. We put our faith in our children. We put our faith in our parents. We put our faith in our jobs. But what you need to know is your parents could go crazy and turn against you. Your children could turn against you. Your spouses could turn against you. But God will never leave nor forsake you. Hallelujah. He said we would turn on him, but he would never turn on us. Somebody just said, well, what about when he leads you to a reprobate mind? That's not because he turned on us. That's because you refused to come back to him. But he said, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but can have everlasting life. I believe it's Romans chapter 10 where he talks about if you believe in your heart and confess out your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he lived and died for the sins of this world, that the same shall be saved. And I paraphrase that, y'all. But that you can be saved. Hallelujah. If you just come to him. And it's nothing special that you have to say. It's no special prayer. Well, there is a special prayer. We call it the prayer of forgiveness. Some people call it the sinner's prayer. Some people call it the wrongdoer's prayer. I just say, make a call to your father and say, hey, I'm sorry. So if you want to be technical, you can say, Father God, I'm coming to you this evening admitting that I'm wrong, admitting that I'm a sinner, And I'm asking and receiving and accepting the gift that you gave to me, which is your son, Jesus the Christ. Come into my heart. I ask him to forgive me of my sins, and I ask him to begin to make me new in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you were never saved and you said that prayer, then bless and praise God this evening. You have given your life to Christ. You are saved and welcome to the kingdom of God. But there might be somebody out there listening that's in a backslidden state. That means you were once saved, but for whatever the reason, you turned your back on God. You turned your back on Jesus. Well, the word of God says that he is married to the backslider. Hallelujah, God, which means you can come back home even now. And it's as simple as, again, calling out to him, repenting, asking for forgiveness of your sin, and asking to come back into right relationship. And if you did that this evening, you are saved. And we welcome you back into the kingdom of God. Now, we encourage all of you to find a Bible believing, teaching, preaching sanctuary where you can grow in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and heal from the trials and the tribulations of this world. But until then, bless God. That's why he has Purpose Kingdom Network here just for you. We have Brother Robert is still on the line. We're going to have him to come on and give us some announcements where he can tell you how to continue to correspond with us here at Purpose Kingdom Network and about upcoming programming. Brother Rob? Brother Rob, are you there? Okay. We must still technical difficulties, so I'm just going to go here with the announcement. As I said, we encourage you to find the Bible believing, teaching, preaching sanctuary where you can grow in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, heal from the trials and the tribulations of this world. And again, until then, that's why Purpose Kingdom Network is here for you. We invite you to join us tomorrow evening at 2 p.m. Jesus. We invite you to join in with us tomorrow evening at 9 p.m. for another broadcast of Purpose Kingdom Network. I believe that the minister for tomorrow is Minister Arsenius Jackson and her ministry, One Touch Transformation, where she is talking about healing of not just the mind and the spirit, but the body and the soul. Amen. Hallelujah, God. You can follow us here at Purpose Kingdom Network via any of our social media pages. We are on Facebook as well as on LinkedIn at Purpose Kingdom. We are on Instagram and Twitter at Purpose_Kingdom. We are still working on fixing the problems with our radio station, pknradio.com. I might as well let y'all know the reason is because the company we broadcast through is located in London, and with that time frame, when they're awake, we're asleep over here. When we're awake over here, they're asleep over there. But I have reached out. We are working on that situation, so please stay tuned for the date that we will be going back on with the radio broadcast where you can listen to gospel music 24 hours a day. Mm-hmm. Know that we love you all with the love of Christ. We thank you all for listening in. And ladies, it is back in your hands.
Well, I will make sure that y'all get on tomorrow because One Touch Transformations is a place not only for you, but it might be for a little girl that you are associated with and that is in your life. So remember that Purpose Kingdom Network does 2 full weeks of different programming. And next Tuesday or tomorrow night, I should say, is worth it, especially if you have a little girl, a young lady.
Amen.
But right now, what we need to do before we end is we got to take it back. You know, if this is the first time that you've ever been with Let's Talk About It, what we have been doing since we started sitting at this table was we'll talk about some stuff, but then we have to have a moment where we take it back. And tonight, What I would like to bring, take back, is our mindset. We need to be able to think victorious. We need to think that we have already won this thing. We need to think that this is ours for the taking and that we just want to be in the right place at the right time. You know how they say open the windows, and he'll open the window of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there will should not be room enough for you to receive? It's time for us to have the mindset to go find the window.
Yeah.
It's our time. It's your time. That's a mindset thing. Stop living in defeat. Stop living in doubt. And take what is yours. You have the authority to go and get it, but it's a mindset. You got to know that you can do it. You got to know that you want to do it. And then you got to see yourself in it, and then you can do it. So for my take it back, I say take back the mindset. Forget about this defeat, doubt. We can't do it. We've already lost. I'm just in my addiction, and I'm stuck in all this, and there's no hope for me. Take back our mind. That's my take it back.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful take back. For my take back tonight, ladies, is faith. Take back our faith. Take back believing and trusting and knowing wholeheartedly that he's going to do it if we just ask. If we ask, it's like Pastor said, our faith. If you have as much faith as a grain of a mustard seed, then we know that he's there for us and he's going to do it. So basically, I'm saying that's my take back. Take back our faith and believe and trust wholeheartedly that God will make a way out of no way. Amen.
Amen. My take back this evening would be for compassion.
Amen.
I think that that's a big problem that I see truthfully all around. If people had more compassion one for another, I don't think we'd be living in as much violence as we're living in. It wouldn't be as many wars and conflicts going on if we could just show compassion for our brothers and our sisters. So my take back this evening would be I'm taking back compassion. We need more compassion in our spirit.
Amen.
Well, amen.
Y'all heard it here first. So if there's no one on the line to have a take it back,
but before
I just want to leave you. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Before we close out, I ran across an article today. I do not personally know these people, but the story itself was such, and I think that's what led me to the compassion piece of it. You know, in today's world, with all the violence with young people being killed by one another, imagine your child goes to the store and they just happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time when the shootout takes place and your child gets killed. That's a horrible situation. Now imagine if your two sons standing side by side and the shootout took place. That is what a family is going through this evening. Mr. Unique Kenner, he went by the nickname Black, and Mr. Tyree Crawford, he went by the nickname Ree. They were both two good young men, working young men, a lot of potential, young adults, a lot of life still left in them. However,
they were in the wrong place at the wrong time and got hit by stray bullets. And the two brothers died 3 days ago. The family has a GoFundMe page that they created, and they're asking for assistance. And again, I know this story that we tell often, this is a story that we hear about often, about our young people being struck down. But now I'm calling on compassion for our listening audience. If you can, I don't care if all you have is 50 cents. Every penny, dime, dollar will help. This family does not have to bury one child. They have to bury both children. Yes. A mother is burying two of her sons. Please go to GoFundMe. It's funeral expenses for Ree and Black. Funeral expenses for Ree and Black on the GoFundMe page. They're trying to raise $20,000 to bury the two children. And anybody that's ever had to bury a family member, you know what it costs. So I'm asking anybody and everybody that can, I don't care if it's just a dollar, please go to the GoFundMe page, look up funeral expenses for Ree and Black, and make a donation. Again, I don't know this family personally. I don't know the mother personally. But my heart is breaking for her. Because what we don't realize is when we kill our young Black men, especially if they haven't had any children, we are killing off our future.
Amen.
So please, if you can, man, woman, child, whoever it is listening, again, GoFundMe, funeral expenses for Ree and Black, and make a donation to help take some of this financial burden for the mother and the family of these two young men, because I could only imagine, and I pray that no one else has to live through what she's going through. That's it. Thank you for letting me put that. I just wanted to share that before we close this evening.
That was a great way to close it.
It's a good way to close it, Pastor.
Amen.
Because you close it with the faith that the people that are listening are going, if possible, to do what it is that they've been called to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
We can end on that note. Like, we can end on that note. And then it's just do what we do and show up.
We'll see y'all next month, right? See y'all next month. God bless. And that's how it works. We'll see you in July. Jesus, bless. I don't know. He raised me. I will not lose. He saved me. I will not lose. Set me free. I will not lose. Never wanna see me down. I will not lose.
Save me.